Welcome back. It's time for the Pedego Podcast and the e-bike revolution. Join us each week as we talk with the entrepreneurs behind this movement and the love stories of those just riding along. Brought to you by Pedego Electric Bikes. Today, we're thrilled to have with us, well, one of those pioneers in the e-bike revolution, one of the Pedego dealers, one of their proud dealers are with us here today. Welcome, guys. Let's have you two identify yourselves. What do we need to know about you? Where's your store at? And when did you get into this crazy thing? And we'll start with, give us your names and store location here.
So I'm Greg Carter. My wife, Stephanie. I'll let her speak up for herself here. But we are in eastern San Diego County. We're probably about 20, 25 miles from the coast. We're in Santee, California. Nice hilly country, lots of bike trails.
Perfect Pedego territory here.
Yes, it is.
What I'm curious about is Pedego has a number of firsts. It was one of the first to the market. Pedego, you know, pioneered this product in the beginning. But what Don and everybody else, we talked about Tom Bach and some of the others, they came up with this idea of having actual Pedego stores. That's something pretty unusual. I don't think anybody's doing that. You know, why not just sell the bikes, make the bikes and sell them to Sears or sell them online or someplace else? And this has grown into a pretty successful idea, a way to service the bikes, a way to sell the bikes, and even to rent the bikes. You can try before you buy. What appealed to you? You weren't in the e-bike business, I gather. What did you do before this, and why did you get into Pedego e-bikes?
Been in the car business my whole life. I grew up in a Cadillac dealership here, not literally, but as at my career. Right. And then I went out on my own after 10 years of working and my way up in the dealership. And then I opened a collision repair business. And then I grew that to 5 locations. And in 2015, a company came in and they kept raising the multiple and kept raising it. And it started to look like a once in a lifetime deal. So I decided to retire. And that lasted about 6 months. And I got extremely bored. So I did consulting for the Fix Auto Corporation and who I was one of the founding members. And up until 7 days ago, I worked for Fix Auto. I finally pulled the plug on that career. And this is just way more fun.
Everybody keeps saying that. What is so fun about selling electric bikes?
Well, because you get to ride along with your prospective clients, for one. People come in the door. They're just happy. You know, they're a lot different than a body shop customer. You know, if you're walking into a body shop, you're not very happy.
Yeah, that's true.
And so my career was really revolved around trying to get people somewhat back to normal, where this is taking people who are normal and bringing them to a level of excitement they haven't seen since they're little kids, probably. So
yeah, right.
I just really enjoy that. And I know my wife loves that aspect too. She's Reiki and yoga and all that stuff.
Well, we're going to talk all about this because I want to explore this. So let's bring her on here. You, according to what they told me, your wife, Stephanie, welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Were you a stay-at-home mom? You weren't even in business? Or were you involved in your husband's auto repair shops and collision shops and all, or were you just staying at home?
You know what? I was largely a stay-at-home mom. That was, you know, keeping me really busy and kind of just taking care of the household.
Well, you had two boys, so that alone. I have two grandsons. That alone, I can imagine, is a full-time gig here, right there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was not involved in this other business. Our boys were just getting to the age where we have one that's 22 and one that's 20, and they're pretty independent and doing their own thing. And Greg and I had talked about before that how cool would it be to have a family-owned business and be able to bring, you know, one or, you know, Greg also has two older kids. And so how fun would it be to have a family business?
So did you bring other kids along with you? Is this the two of you, husband and wife, running this business, or is this a family business and there's more members in it?
Yeah, we have our oldest son who is working here. We have Greg's oldest son who works here part-time. And then we have my nephew as well. So,
wow, the whole extended family. All right, now, so let's dig deeper into your background. In addition to being a stay-at-home mom, I'm told that you were a yoga teacher. Are you just selling a different form of tranquility here?
I like to think that, yeah. I think that being a yoga instructor and doing my Reiki has made me familiar with wellness.
Right.
And so I feel like this goes hand in hand.
Happiness, with contentment, yeah. All those things, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Finding your inner peace, yeah.
Yeah. I think it really pairs well with people coming in and wanting to change their lifestyle or to add something to their lifestyle.
Yeah.
And people that haven't ridden a bike in 25 years, getting back on and connecting with their...
Well, that's me. That's all of us of a certain age, you know. Next chapter in our lives here, after raising the family and running the business, now what comes next? Because, you know, lucky me, I'm going to live to be 90. But unfortunate me, what am I going to do with all that time?
Exactly.
You know, so all of that comes into play now here. We've got this extended inning here, this extra inning we've all been, many of us have been handed, and we're all trying to figure out what the heck are we going to do with it? Are we going to be creative? Are we going to run a business? Are we going to travel the world? Are we just going to sit home and watch TV? Take care of the grandkids, right? Well, all of that is part of your story here. Now, what's Reiki? You keep throwing out Reiki. I have no idea what Reiki is. I don't know how to spell it.
So Reiki is a form of alternative healing. It's hands-on healing. So if on a typical Reiki session, someone come in and lay on a massage table,
right,
and I'm just putting my hands in different parts of their body and transmitting energy to them.
Is this all part of this idea, sort of like acupuncture, acupressure, that there's all this energy flowing through my body and somehow I can redirect it and point it at certain parts of my body, whether I'm using an acupressure pin or needle or whether I'm using a pressure point or you're using your hands somehow here, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just really about, I'm not really doing anything. I'm just asking for the energy to flow through you. And it's a way of just clearing anything that doesn't, you know, that no longer serves you, whether that be emotional or physical ailments.
So am I making too much of a connection here? Am I reaching too far to say that now you're just redirecting energy in a different way? You're getting people to go onto a bike and pedal again here? Many who haven't done so in, like me, 20 or 30 years probably?
Yeah, I don't know that I necessarily use that for getting people, but I think it's been helpful to...
It seems like a weird connection. It's energy. Yeah. It's another form of energy, and you're getting people to be energetic and get up and ride and everything, and you're giving a little power assist here, a little extra energy to do it, because this is an electric bike here. So why did you two decide to get into this business? There's 1,000 businesses. You could open a flower shop. You could open a yoga studio. You know, why this business?
Want to answer that?
Yeah. So I had rented the bikes with the industry group one time, and we found ourselves riding 44 miles or so and going up hills and doing all kinds of things. And I was just blown away by that. And of course I came home and told my wife, and she said, "Well, Greg, you just like anything with a motor on it."
Yeah,
well,
right. That's the guy's end of it.
That's true.
Yeah.
But trust me, we live in the hills, and this, and you know, fast forward, we decided to buy the bikes, and we bought our bikes from a wonderful guy, Sean, down in San Diego. And in the process, we realized, like, wow, there's no dealer out here, and there's a lot of people, a lot of hills, great bike trails. This would be, and I grew my business out of this town and grew up in the town. This would be a really kind of a fun thing to do. Don and Cynthia were really great to meet and talk about the business model. And of course, with my car background and stuff, I just felt
comfortable.
Felt
I could
like
serve.
Right,
yeah, you could maybe service them. It's still wheels. It's still a gear. It's still a machine. It's still a powered vehicle of some sort here, but it's a different one. It's a fun one. It's a simpler one. Well,
right.
I just am struck by how many people match your story. Two stories. One, hadn't been on a bike till I got on one of these Pedagos and had a blast, and then decided I'm either going to buy them or get more people into this. Or let's go all the way, hey, I'm going to get back into business here. I'm going to open a fun, dare we call it a lifestyle business. I mean, I'm sure you're hoping to make money, but it's about the fun, it seems like, as much as it is about making a profit here. Or am I over-exaggerating here? Is it always about just the profit?
Well, no, it is. It's a lifestyle. And the opportunity for us to work, we've never worked together as a family. And, you know, for me to guide them as, you know, my boys and daughter to be good employees, learn the business and learn about business, it's been really a pleasure. And I can't wait to get to work every day. And we're absolutely having a ball with it. It was definitely the right decision. I think it's been a profitable business for sure. And I see no let up. Our inventory's good. We have a great spot here. Some folks right before you were, we got on the air here, they drove about 40 miles to come see our store.
Really? So, 40 miles. There's a passionate group of people. I mean, this isn't just, you're not selling just toasters here. There's a group of people that get really passionate about this product. It's not just the dealers themselves who get into it, but I think the customers. Any love stories? Anybody that sticks? How long have you had the shop, first of all? Let's talk about that.
A little over 3 months.
Yeah,
oh, three
March
months.
1st.
Oh, my
yeah,
goodness.
Very new.
Wow. All right.
And I think we have, we've sold an awful lot of bikes.
I didn't see the numbers, but the little pitch I got was, hey, you got to talk to these people because they're on a track to become one of our biggest, better dealers here. And I said, after 3 months? Come on. That seems pretty quick.
Well, you know, there's a competitive part of me, too, that's like, yeah, I can do this. And I, you know, I don't want to do it just halfway. I would like to represent the brand. It's such a great brand. Don has done such a good job with the company and, you know, the quality of the bike, the layout, everything. They're just the various models and so forth. There's just so many options for people.
They've figured it out. They really have. So for you, how did the process start? You rode a bike. You said, this is fun. Idea came. Maybe I could sell these and maybe this could be a family business. That would be fun. And maybe it's something I can pass on to my kids. That's even more fun. We all have this fantasy of, you know, working, I do. I never don't know that I ever will, but working with my daughter or grandkids or something, I can get the appeal of all that. So what's the step? You just call them up and said, I want to be a dealer, and then what happens?
Well, there's a getting to know each other. There's some diligence on both sides, of course. And I think when we went up to headquarters and met Don and Cynthia and Tom and Cassidy, it just felt really...
Felt like family. Yeah, right. You guys
really
felt like
right.
A fit. Yeah,
and, yeah. You know, we left really excited and immediately got on our bikes and started looking for a spot. And
we did that. You rode the bikes looking for what? What a natural way to do it. I would never think of that. I think I'd go to a broker and they'd drive me around. But why not ride the bike? Where you're going to sell the bikes, people are going to ride the bikes. Yeah.
Well, and we wanted to have a ride-friendly area, so we thought that by doing our recon on bicycles, that would keep us really close to the...
How clever. Yeah, I would have never thought of that one. Okay, that's a takeaway. There you go. Don't just go pick out a location because it's in a big shopping center. Make sure it's ride-friendly.
Yes, absolutely. And I would say that to anybody that's going to become a dealer, and I'm sure they know that you've got to have a place to ride the bikes, because once people ride these, it's pretty much game over. You know, I want to come up with a grin cam that goes on their helmet, because I swear 50 yards on the bike and
the grin,
you can just see the grin on their face.
Breaks out. All right, yeah. So you're using the bikes to scout. It's not a franchise. I know we got to emphasize that. It's really more of what? You're a licensed dealer and you get to sell this product in a certain territory. Is that the way it works?
That's how it works, and we have a dealer agreement. Obviously, we're exclusive with Pedego on the electric bike side. There's freedom to sell other goods and accessories and things like that. And frankly, I don't know why I would want to ever sell another electric bike. These things are you know, the quality, the warranty, the backing of the company, it's beyond belief. And the customers that are coming in here since we've opened that bought Pedegos in 2009 or whatever, they're bringing their bikes in, you can still get parts for the bikes.
I
repaired a 2009 bike a couple weeks ago, and I had the part in a couple days, and he just wore the thing out, the throttle, right? And I had so many miles on it and was able to replace the part. And I think that is...
That's unusual, because I look online, I've read about it as we started this show, I've tried to research, and one of the common problems is maybe the thrill wears off, people buy it, and then they don't ride it enough for some, because they don't know anybody else to ride with, so they've just got one by themselves. Or the number one problem is, I bought this cool thing on the internet, now it broke, or it wore out, or I need a new part, or something. I don't know where to go. I can't send it back to the internet. You know, it's not something I can just package up and send back to Amazon. Something happens and it gets set aside, and pretty soon it's just sitting there, like the old exercise equipment my wife bought 10 years ago excitedly and used 3 times. It falls into that category. But Pedego, I think because it has this dedicated dealer network, I know that I can always get this thing fixed, not just today, but tomorrow. You guys will be there next year and 2 years and 5 years and whatnot. There's somebody around who can fix this. And if I take it on the road, we had somebody talk about that. What if I want to go up to, I don't know, Big Bear or someplace, or pick some, I want to go to the Northern California, I want to go to some other state. There's probably somebody around there who can fix it for me too.
That's right. And interestingly enough, this morning I had a client. This falls into the love story slash service category, but yeah. They're in Hill City, South Dakota, wow. at, near Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, sure.
Riding the lady somehow in loading the bikes, the kickstand got broken, and yeah. they were asking me, you know, what should I do? And I said, how about I overnight you a kickstand? You're going to be in the campground for 3 days. So this morning, I overnighted a kickstand, and I thought she was going to start crying. She says, I cannot believe that service. And,
yeah.
and I think that's what you get when you have a dedicated dealer that cares about your customer. And,
exactly. And that and product, so, they don't just say, well, you know, any bike's the same. I think that's a unique feature about it. You know, so many cars today, car dealers are always struggling. They hand 12 different brands. And I wonder, are you pushing me because that's the best brand or that's the one that you're getting the best deal on today here? Is it really, are you really looking out for me or are you just trying to steer me, get rid of this car because it's been on the lot forever here?
Right. That's what's great about our customers because they're usually in here for a while buying bikes. So you form a relationship with them and yeah. you really feel like they're part of your family. You feel like they're friends.
So do you guys do ride-alongs with them? Because some of the stores, they actually have, this is like a cult. This is like a cult now, a subculture. I feel like, you know, when you buy a Jeep, they say they take you on Jeep safaris and stuff here, or, you know, vehicles like that. Is that the kind of stuff you guys do? Do you create rides and other connections with your customers, or are you just there to sell and service them?
We do. We're kind of like the wild hogs kind of.
Yeah, all right. Harley guys.
We take them. We'll have a Sunday morning ride. We'll have bagels and coffee, and then we'll take them on a ride and oftentimes end up maybe at the country club near here, a restaurant, and buy them lunch. And it's just, it's so fun. Everybody. And then when you see this this gang of bicycles, electric bikes, people are, they're like very curious. They walk up like, wow, look at these bikes. And
yeah.
it's just.
Right.
It's so much fun, and
you attract attention, and more people come over. Hey, you're having too much fun. How do I get on in this thing here?
Yeah,
exactly. We have shirts made that say Pedego CNT on the back, and it's a great opportunity for other people because we have mostly couples, but there are people that are individually bought bikes and they're looking for someone that lives in their town that they could ride bikes with. So. There's great connections.
That seems to be one of the other commonalities. And we've only done a few of these, but looking around, this doesn't seem to be something that the majority of people are just doing by themselves. When I bought an exercise bike, a stationary exercise bike, it was me alone. And it wasn't much fun, and it didn't last very long. It was a good idea, but it was, I needed some encouragement. I needed some support. I needed somebody, a wingman, a buddy, a workout pal or something. But I can't. It's in my garage.
Yeah,
here's something that you've got that gives you not just some exercise and get out in the world and whatnot, particularly those of a certain age, the kind of aging baby boomers out there, who I think this product is a big part of. I think it appeals to a lot of people, but I think that's one of the sure target groups here. It not only gets me up and out and active, it gets me social. Talk about that.
It's true. This group of people that show up, and many of them now are coming back. They're on a ride. They drop into the store. They get a cold water or a cup of coffee or something. And while they're in here, a prospective buyer comes in and they start talking to them. It's almost like they're on our payroll. The bikes are, they get so excited. They want more people to buy them because they are so much fun. And
I can't think of many, maybe a restaurant or something like that, but I can't think of many businesses that have that kind of connection with their customers. I dare say at your collision shops, as wonderful as they were, as successful as you were, once I got my car fixed, I didn't just come back and hang out and say, hey, Greg, hey, I'm back. Can I just show you again? The bumper still looks good.
It's true. You're right on the money with that. They want to stay as far away from you as they can.
Yeah.
It's the exact opposite with this.
Hope I never see you again, Greg. I hope I never need your collision services again.
Right.
Instead, they're just hanging out. Hey, and you're like, well, I sold you the bike. Go away. Do you need service? No. Do you want another part? No. I just want to come hang out with you. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They drop by. It happens a couple times a day. Somebody will come in on their bikes.
So what would you tell anybody else, you know, who's at that stage in their life, they're looking for the next career, the next thing, maybe this one's more about fun and family, and yeah, you want to make money, but that's not the whole motivation here. It's to have fun and be active and contribute and connect with people and help people, all those kind of good things we want to do when we reach a certain age here. What would you say to somebody who's thinking about and who says to themselves, but I don't know anything about selling bikes?
Well, you know what? It's awfully easy because I know it's cliche, but literally the bikes, when people ride them, they sell themselves. It becomes an easy deal. It's learning the other parts of the business that are really fun. You know, look, we're working on bicycles. It's not that complex, really. Right. The training that Pedego offers, all the training that's out there, we're finding all really, really no warranty issues or problems. I've had a couple people that have tipped them over and a couple little minor things like that. But sure, for the most part, the service side of the business has been really more adding accessories and tire changes and kind of basic maintenance stuff. But I would tell anybody that wants to get into this business to just spend a little time in a store and just feel the positive energy and compare that to your whatever career you were in. And I can assure you it's a much higher level of positive energy.
I'll bet. And whether you're working at a bank or an insurance agent or running a small, collision shop or a big collision shop, whatever it is, you know, this is a different
kind of... Or a DJ,
Yeah, exactly. Me too. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what would intimidate me, quite frankly, is I think I could sell the bikes. I believe you. I do think they kind of sell themselves, particularly this model where you try it. I can't try too many things before I buy it. Here, take it out, ride it, rent it, have fun with it, play with it over multiple times. You don't have to decide this minute, you know, come back and do it a bunch of times here. I think that's a powerful, powerful differentiator and something that probably does help sell. I'd be worried about servicing them. I'm mechanically inept. I don't know how to fix anything. How do you learn to do that? You're in the collision business. This is easy for you. That's the easy part.
Well, and it's really not difficult. And I think part of the fun is learning a new thing. I was never a bike mechanic, and I don't intend to be a bike mechanic, for the rest of my life. Yeah, but I do enjoy tinkering with them, and I do like to know how they work and how to fix things. It's just kind of fun. I can better train people around me as well. But there is so much content on and technical training and that Pedego has and other resources available. So it's definitely not that daunting.
It's not a rocket ship. It's not trying to fix a damaged car here. It's a little easier than a lot easier than that. Well, all right. So, is it financially difficult? We don't have to go to the money and the numbers and other stuff here. But do I have to be a millionaire? I can't open a car dealership today unless I'm rich. Probably can't open a collision shop unless I've got a bunch of backing here these days. Is it something affordable and available to ordinary people? You got to have some means. I understand it. You got to sign a lease. You got to do some other things here. But is it an insurmountable hurdle for most to get over?
No, and they have resources to help floor some of the inventory for those that don't have the means to do that. It's a little bit of TI work and some inventory and tools and things, but it's nothing.
Well, tenant improvement, TI, crazy. You just got to fix the store. Well, how big is your store? What size store have you got?
So we've got just under 4,000 square feet. Typically, we have around 100 bicycles in here. And that seems to be 100 to 120, I think, is a good number for us of inventory where we can pretty much.
People can take it home. They can try it out. All that, because you can't just probably do this virtually. You can't just do this with three bikes. You know, you gotta have enough people can try. Because how many different models are there? I've forgotten now. Here, there's quite a number of models these days.
Not just
one or two bikes. There's all sorts from the big mountain bikes to the little commuter bikes to the more fun bikes. I've ridden a bunch of them, and I was surprised the wide range of products available. I thought it was just a bike. Like, I thought they were all just cruisers. I didn't know there was such a selection of different types here.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of that. And colors, that's a thing that largely falls with our lady customers. They are very passionate about the color of their bicycle.
I'd want to know is how fast it goes. My wife would want to know is, yeah, but what color is it?
What colors does it come in? That's true.
So, what we've done is we've just started a new kind of a fun project, which is we're doing custom colors for people. So we found a very high-end refinisher. He is doing the frames in whatever color the customer wants.
Oh, you can trick it out.
I pick their color. I give them a demo bike in between time that they buy theirs, and I get it built in their own personal color.
Wow.
And then I deliver their new baby to them in the color of their choice, and it's just it's just another aspect of this that will delight people that really are color-centric. They have to have a certain color. We're able to do that.
Customize. Everything's got to be customized. Hey, we're here on Orange County Talk Radio, so everything's got to be orange. If we had one, it'd have to be orange. I don't know if they come in orange, but I'd have to get one in orange somehow.
I'm making one right now, Rick. I'm doing an orange one right now, as a matter of fact.
There you go. All right, just put OC Talk Radio on it. We'll be all set. All right, well, I'm going to end with Stephanie because this seems like a guy's world. Stephanie, fixing bikes, selling stuff, repairing things, maintaining, servicing, all that stuff. Or am I just wrong? Is this for everybody? Do women fit into this world as much as men do? Men love the gears and how fast it goes and all that kind of stuff. I get why your husband likes it. What do you like about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I will tell you that I'm not the person that's repairing the bikes. I can do a few, the handlebars and put air in the tires, but largely there's always a guy here that can do that.
Right. That's not the yoga teacher's passion here. What's your passion? It seems like you're helping people.
Yeah, I like talking to the customers. I like talking, having a one-on-one relationship and just kind of finding out the reasons why they come in and why they want to ride and hearing their story. A lot of times it's a husband and wife. Yeah, I just like creating a relationship with them.
My wife was a manager at a big bank for 20 some years till she retired, and she said what I missed was the people. And I said, and yet you talk to most of the guys that worked in the bank, all they wanted was the sales and the competitions and there was a different thing that drove them. She just liked helping people. And she said that was her motivation here. Yeah.
Yep, that's true for me. I mean, I've learned a ton about the bikes. There's still a lot I'm learning. And that's one thing I'll say too. Like, I wouldn't let that be an intimidation because you learn as you go.
Yeah.
And customers never mind you saying, you know what, I don't know, but I'll find out.
Well, I hope we will find out how successful you become. I hope you come back again as this thing passes its one-year anniversary and come back and tell us, is the passion still there? Are the sales still there? Is the drive still there to do all this? I hope so. It sounds like it. You guys are a perfect example of, I think, why Pedego's been successful, not just as a product, but in building this incredible dealer network of mom-and-pop, husband-wife entrepreneurs here.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't wait to come back and tell you that we're continuing to crush it. So we'll look for that.
Or maybe you're on your third store or something by then. Who knows? I don't know where this goes. Do you have ambitions beyond one store, or is this just content where this is where it's going to be here?
I have a master's degree in partial arts. Definitely I keep going. It's fun to build.
All right. Well, I get that feeling. Well, we're building together here a great connection. Thanks for coming on today and sharing your story, your passion, your enthusiasm for selling Pedego bikes. Thanks so much here. Well, there you have it, folks. Another part of the e-bike revolution as we talk with the entrepreneurs behind this movement, the real people, really getting people riding again. Brought to you by Pedego Electric Bikes. It's the Pedego Podcast. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net. Streaming live from the University of California, Irvine, Beal Applied Innovation Center. Come back and ride along with us some more each and every week